Well, good morning, and thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. Thank you for your eager desire to know better the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You have been well-fed, well-led over these past number of weeks, discussing the person of the Holy Spirit, the broad work of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, and the gift of prophecy. And this morning, we want to take a little bit of time to talk about guidance. How does the Spirit of God work within us and through us to reveal God's will so that we are encountering the Lord, experiencing the Lord, and following the Lord into His perfect will for us. When we're talking about guidance, any number of directions that we can go thinking very mystical, and there's this voice that comes and we're trusting that it's the Spirit of God and so we follow it. Or there can be this very mechanical, logistical, administrative approach where you look at every detail and you're so circumspect that you just walk in circles and you make no decision. So hopefully we're going to touch on something in between. Now, decision making can include everything from where you go to lunch today to an ailing parent and needing help and not knowing what major decisions to make about their care and everything in between. And just as a matter of curiosity, how many of you are in a place where in the next 6 months to a year, there's a major decision facing you? Okay. Jen, what are you trying to decide, if I might ask? Moving to California. That is no small decision. Any others that nobody wants to share? Okay, that's good. What's that? Buying a house, that is no small decision. Well, what we're going to talk about is not, and I trust this doesn't disappoint anybody, we're not going to find a chapter and verse on California or Louisville or St. Matthews or Indiana. That's just not going to be there. But what we can do is look at what God's Word has to say about the guidance that Spirit gives and the means by which He guides us. You've read, I'm sure, already in John 16, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. So there's a sense in which we're already receiving guidance now. The Spirit, the fact that we are born again, the fact that we are sitting in this room, is an indication of the Spirit of God at work in our lives to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. So be encouraged by the fact that those decisions, small or great, are in God's hands, and He will make known His will in a way that brings Him glory and you good. Now, why do we even seek guidance of the Holy Spirit? Why don't we just do what we want? Why don't we just, hey, look, I've got the Spirit of God. I'm just going to do what I feel like doing. Well, the Scripture talks about how we go about living life. And these are things that really are fundamental means of guidance for us. A desire for the glory of God. The fact that you're born again, filled with the Spirit, and desire to do God's will and bring Him glory is one of the ways that we make decisions. Guidance comes, would this please the Lord? Would this honor the Lord? Would this reflect well on the Lord or not? So whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 37, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in His way. Our decision making reveals a lot about our motives. Well, the work of the Spirit is to make us aware of what would please God, what would honor the Lord, what is obedience. In Colossians, we read that Paul is praying that we be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's a great prayer to pray every morning. Lord, fill me with the knowledge of Your will, the people I'm going to talk to, the decisions I have to make, the places I have to go. And one of the things that the Spirit of God does by exalting Christ in our heart, we want to please Him. We don't just make independent, unilateral decisions. We want to please God. So that's part of our motive. That's the work of the Spirit. A desire for the good of others. My fleshly tendencies are selfish. This would make me happy. I'd like to do this without any consideration of the effect on my wife or my family or others that I'm serving? Well, when the Spirit of God, when we open God's Word and we read to look to the interests of others rather than to our own, have this mind among yourselves, that's a means of guidance. It redirects us. It keeps us from the fleshly or the selfish. So that's one of the means. It stirs our motives. The desires of my heart need to be purified by the Spirit. It's an interesting passage. Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Prayer, and we're going to get into the means. But one of the things the Spirit of God does through things that we've already talked about, a desire to please God, a desire for the glory of God, a desire for the good of others, it helps me to recognize, am I pursuing things that are just inwardly fleshly, selfish, ungodly? And ungodly can be the extreme. It can be just selfish pride. But the work of the Spirit, by opening our hearts to the Word, opening our hearts to counsel, all the things we're going to get into, help to purify my heart. It helps reshape my desires. As new believers, our desires can go everywhere, but the more we know God, the more we commune with the Spirit, the more we're in fellowship with other believers, the more that we read God's Word, we find ourselves thinking differently, desiring differently, believing differently. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not the wisdom and the guidance that we're getting from the Holy Spirit is often revealed, James 3, by how we respond to questions about our decision-making, disagreement with our decision-making. Wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I have been challenged at times with a decision that I want to make, and I can get real stubborn about it and get real intent on, no, this is what I'm going to do. Others who are wiser than I are appealing. Wisdom from above is pure and peaceable and open to reason. One of the ways you can tell, now, is the Spirit of God in this, or am I just committed to getting my own way? By my responsiveness to being questioned or challenged or disagreed with. Doesn't mean that you change your mind, but it just helps to expose what's going on in our souls. And then lastly, we seek guidance because we just know we need it. We want to do God's will. We want to please God, and we just don't know how to go about it. So, what a wonderful promise. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. So, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I want your will, and I'm asking you. Well, that's the one to whom God will speak and the one whom God will guide. All right, what will guidance include? Well, first of all, it's going to be consistent with Scripture. God's not going to ask you to do something, direct you to do something that violates his word. This is kind of an aside, really, this section of the outline. It's going to be consistent with Scripture. And as I said earlier, a lot of our decisions don't have chapter and verse. But if God has already said to do certain things in terms of loving or serving and obedience or purity, you're not going to make a decision that contradicts that. You can quickly say, this is not the will of God for me. Consistent with other guidance God has given. If God has called you to be in classes at Boyce College, you don't feel led to just spend all of your mornings someplace else other than a class. I've done that. It's not a good idea. It's going to be consistent with guidance, other guidance that God has given. If he's called you to be at Sovereign Grace Church, now, can God redirect? Absolutely. And we're led by the Spirit. It doesn't have to be this church, doesn't have to be this job, doesn't have to be that school, whatever the case may be. But when God has directed you to this church, then there are certain things that you can be sure of that are consistent with that. Time with brothers and sisters, as opposed to spending all your time elsewhere. Again, there's flexibility here. I don't want this to feel so black and white and rigid, but these are just basic guidelines, consistent with Scripture, consistent with other guidance God has given. This next point can seem a little vague, going to or going from. I've sat with folks who just say, I'm leaving this, I'm getting out of this, I'm changing this, to which I say, where are you going? Well, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm just leaving this. Now, there may be a circumstance where you say, it's such that I have to leave. the conditions are such, the company is such, the influence is such that you just know you have to leave. But very often we make decisions without knowing the next step. I'm leaving my job, I can't stand it. Well, you have a family, right? Where are you going? What's the job you're gonna take? Well, I don't know, but I'm leaving this one. Well, what's gonna provide for your family? So that my counsel in that case would be, look, pursue your other job. There's grace to stay here because God will give you grace to provide. Then look for where you're going to. So just some asides there. And we're going to have time for Q&A afterwards. You'll have the questions and I'll have Steve give the answers. All right. How will the Holy Spirit guide? God's word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I mentioned earlier, Scripture doesn't give chapter and verse for our decisions, the exact decision we have to make. But by going to God's word, we find our minds renewed. We think differently. We desire differently. We believe differently. We pursue differently. It shapes our values. It shapes our priorities. Going to God's word, whether it's talking about purity or redeeming the time or financial stewardship, there's guidance there. No, I'm not going to do something that's going to put me and my family in extreme debt, because the verse Bible talks about debt and owing and faithfulness in our finances. Going to God's word. It's interesting how often we can talk to folks who they're trying to make a major decision. You begin to talk about their fellowship with the Lord. Are you getting time in the Word? Are you taking time to pray? Well, no, not really. And that's where I want to start. Okay, some of your confusion can come from you're just not thinking God's thoughts right now. You're not asking the one who will guide you. So you want to direct them back to the Word and to prayer. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make straight your paths. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps in our weakness. We don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit helps us in prayer. James 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, as you're looking at this, you may think, okay, I read the Bible, I still don't know what to do. I pray, I still don't know what to do. We're going to get to a place where you're going to have to take a step of faith. After all these pieces come together and all these means are pursued, there is a sense in which, Lord, I believe this is your will, and you take a step of faith. And I'll get to this in a minute. The issue of means are not to make the decision for you. These are all influence, counsel, advice, support, giving you input and comments and counsel and evaluation. But the faith to decide is going to be a decision that you make in response to all that you've received as a means of pleasing and obeying God. So I'm probably going to say that a couple of times before we're through. But you go to God's word. You go and pray. You get counsel. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Proverbs 11, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. One of the things you're going to find as we're going through this outline is the work of the Spirit is in conjunction with ecclesiology. What the Bible says about the church is a part of your guidance. What do you believe about the church, the place of pastors, the place of brothers and sisters? There are things that God says to us about being a disciple that are part and parcel and inseparable from our decision making. Trying to be a believer, making decisions independently of the word and prayer and the church and counsel, is contrary to Scripture. That's a word issue. Who do I go to? Who do you talk to? Now, another means of guidance, and I'm not going to belabor this, but sometimes we find that we're ourselves guided by prophecy. Prophecy is not authoritative. It's not Scripture. Please don't make life decisions based on a prophecy. You've got these other things, the word and counsel and prayer to guide. But sometimes you'll hear somebody say, you know what, I really feel like the Lord has gifted you to do something like writing. Maybe you should do that. But that's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Spirit of God and those around you helping you to decide. And sometimes I've shared with folks what I believe to be a gift. Their response should be appropriately, we'll see. Not making decisions, not changing my life, not leaving my job. Let's just see how the Lord directs me. So that can be a means of guidance. Whom will the Spirit use? To whom has God joined you? Who are the people that you can say with confidence, God's put these folks in my life? Who are your closest relationships? Could be your parents, could be your husband or wife, your pastors, your community group leader, people that you're in close fellowship with. Well, when you read through the scripture and you read what God says about the proper working of every part and that which every joint supplies and the multitude of counsel, there's a sense in which we're inseparable. Therefore, there's a part that those whom God has joined us to have a part to play in our guidance. Are we in fellowship? Who knows you well? Who are the people that you would go to for counsel? We're going to get into more detail here shortly. But the relational aspect of guidance is critical because it speaks of God having joined us to himself, Christ the head, and joined us to his church, the body. To whom are we joined? Those should be voices that we listen to when it comes to making decisions. So decision-making really has a lot to do not only with your relationship with the Lord, but your relationship with the church. Who has responsibility and authority in your life? And when I speak of authority, I'm not talking about dictating their will imposed on your will. I'm talking about those over you in the Lord. Those are biblical terms. I want to explain these next two verses. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Obedience to a pastor is confined to his proclamation of the word of God. We as pastors don't make your decisions. Now, if you're doing something that clearly violates scripture in love and by the grace of God and with grace, we should speak to that. But we are in a position of influence, advice, and counsel, not authoritatively making your decisions for you. I can direct you to the scripture and say categorically, unapologetically, you must obey that. It looks like something. But whether or not I can say it looks like that specifically for you, I'm crossing a line of authority there. Hope that's clear. 1 Thessalonians 5, we ask you, brothers, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Respect, honor, blatant or categorical obedience? No, that's confined to you and the Lord. Who do you trust, respect, and follow? This is really an elaboration of much of what I've already said. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools will suffer harm. Are you in fellowship with those whom you would say are wise, godly, mature, able to influence, able to give you guidance and wisdom? Who are those folks? Now, when you think about fellowship, you can't go to everyone about everything. Who is it that God has put in your life that where you can say, okay, I want to be circumspect. I want to be clear. I've got a little illustration that goes back 40 years, but it's very vivid to me and to my wife. As we were beginning to pursue our relationship, and I had in my heart a conviction, I love this woman, I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman, no one I'd rather be with. But I'm asking for counsel, and I'm looking for how much income I have, and I'm looking for where we're going to live, and I'm trying to decide what's the right time, and where we're going to go on our honeymoon. And I think at one point Betsy said, I don't think you're ever going to get married. Her mother was fit to be tied. But what was happening here is I, in my efforts to be wise, I was lacking faith. I just didn't know quite how to take that step. Now, the step would be, will you marry me? And done deal. So we're at an elders meeting, and we're supposed to bring our lunch. So we all walk in with lunches, and CJ sees me walk in with no lunch, a bottle of juice. He goes, what's up with that? Why aren't you eating? He goes, are you fasting? I said, yeah. He goes, are you fasting about the big one? I said, yeah. He says, Gary, if anybody had any question or any doubt, wouldn't they have told you by now? What are you waiting for? And it was one of those moments where I realized in my efforts to be circumspect and wise and humble and gracious, I was in unbelief and a habit of mine that my wife regularly points out to me is I think I can make the perfect decision. There is no such thing. At some point, we make a decision based on what we believe. We've sought counsel, we've sought the word, and then we take a step of faith, which leads us to the last point. What is my next step? And my next step was to ask Betsy out to dinner and go to the Vantage Point restaurant in downtown Washington and ask her if she would grant me the privilege of being my wife. To which she said, yes, for which I'm eternally grateful. All right, confirm your decision with those from whom you've sought counsel. This is what I believe God is saying. This is the step I think I'm going to take. This is the direction I believe I'm to go. And again, you're not running back through all these people. You're just saying, you've been a part of this. This is the direction I'm going to go. Especially if the decision affects these people. Who is this going to have an effect on? If I make a decision about something in the church, there's a pastoral team, there's my family, there's the church. Those folks need to be talked about before the final step is taken, and then take a step of faith and obedience. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him. Now, when I say a step of obedience, I want to be careful. Guidance, very often, more often than not, the decisions we make are not right or wrong, sin or not sin. They're wisdom issues, pleasing God issues, serving other issues, moving you further along in God's purpose, preparation, training for whatever it is that he has for you in the future. That's usually what we're talking about. But when I say obedience, if we're talking about a job that you just know is the ethics are wrong, you know you have to lead. That's an obedience issue. But it's typically a step of faith that, for the most part, most of our decisions are not irreversible. God's a big God. He can redirect, he can alter, he can change, he can provide. But pleasing him is going to mean taking a step of faith. Now, I just went through a lot of material in this outline. I would welcome Brian, Steve, Chad left. Steve, any thoughts that you guys had to add to this before we go back through for questions and answers? We seek God's guidance. Our motive is to please him and honor him. Guidance is going to be consistent with Scripture and consistent with guidance that God has given. How will the Spirit guide? He's going to use the word and prayer, counsel, at times prophecy. Who has God joined you to? Who has a voice in your life? Who will speak to you? Who do you trust and respect? And what is the next step? Now, your next step may not be the final step. It may be a preliminary step. Whether it's exploring what's in California and talking to people out there, or getting in the real estate market, or talking to counsel along the way. I've got to make a budget decision before I make a house decision. Those are some of the preliminaries that lead us to the final decision that God wants to make. We are indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. He speaks to us through these means. You may have an impression that you didn't go to the Bible, you didn't ask anybody, it's just the thought comes, I believe I'm supposed to do this. Well, one of the verses that we have at the end of this outline, which is, I take great comfort in, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel with my eye upon you. He will lead me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then the verse, actually we skipped over it, but in Luke 11, what father among you, if your son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I sometimes talk to folks that are in a small group, and they feel like they have a something of a prophetic word. They want to pray for someone and have a word of encouragement. They want to share it. But then they take the step back and say, what if it's not the Lord? And what if it's not clear? And what if it's not the time? And what if it's just wrong? Well, if you've asked for a gift, trust God's going to give you a gift. Don't get so double-minded and circumspect that you do nothing. If that's the case, take a step of faith. Ask the leader if you can pray for someone, whatever the case may be. Ask, it's the same thing with guidance. God gives you means. God guides your steps. You're going to have to take that step of faith. Brian, Steve, anything you would add? Questions? Now, I wasn't so thorough that you should have no questions, okay? Anything that comes to mind when you think about guidance, you think about decisions that God is calling you to make. Think about how you made decisions now. Would you do something differently? I mentioned the whole process of pursuing my wife. It could be the same thing of pursuing a house. It could be a financial decision where there are only so many steps we can take before we have to take that step of faith. And that's the confidence that we have in a loving God who graciously guides, who constantly assures us. I would encourage us, as we are praying about guidance, talk to others about guidance. How do you make your decisions? How did you make that decision? Especially if you're in a season right now where you know there are people that can identify with the choices you make. People that have relocated to Louisville, people that have bought homes. I would encourage those kinds of conversation. It sharpens our discernment, it enhances our wisdom. But the Spirit of God who saved us, sanctifies us, empowers us, also guides us. Sometimes it's a very clear word. I can remember one illustration. This might not sound like guidance. I can remember as a young believer, backslidden believer, God brought me to a place of repentance. And I can remember being in my room, and all of a sudden this thought came. It was just, I think it was Luke 14. I had no idea what Luke 14 was, but it was a thought that came to mind. So I go, and I'm reading, and I'm telling the Lord I want to serve and obey, and I'm repenting. And that's all I heard. But I get there, it's the story of the man building a tower, and the end of the story is count the cost. I feel like that's what God said to me in the midst of all that I was pronouncing I was going to do. So there can be thoughts like that that come. God brings something to your memory. God brings a thought, an impression. Take a step. Ask somebody if you're not sure. But that was one of those occasions where I'm looking for God's will and guidance for going forward and repentance and faith. And God very clearly reminded me to count the cost. Brian. In terms of relationships. Well, I think there's a lot, without going through my endless checklist of things that have to be done before you can even think about a relationship, I think there are things, when I talk to singles about the whole prospect of the future in marriage, my first counsel is be a faithful single. In other words, be a faithful disciple. What does that mean? I'm consistent in the word, consistent in prayer, consistent in fellowship, consistent in getting counsel. If I were talking to a single and they were talking about a relationship, one of my questions is going to be, who is this person in relationship with? Who do they seek counsel from? Who are they? Is there a humility there? So these are all not just married single issues, they're disciple issues. An overwhelming majority of those relational issues are discipleship issues. The overwhelming majority of marriage issues are discipleship issues. Are we self-control? Are we serving? Are we love? Are we loving? Are we patient? What is conflict? Well, I've heard singles can have conflicts too, so learn how to do that. So I'm looking for, if I'm answering your question, I'm looking for what are the steps. Proverbs speaks about preparing your work in the field, make it ready, then build your house. I'm going to want to talk about provision, financial responsibility. These are questions I would want the gals asking. These are questions I would want the guys asking. How is that taking place? So a faithful disciple is the best preparation for being a husband or a wife. Because we can have this delusion that all this stuff falls into place when we say I do. It doesn't. These things need to be in place as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a disciple. And those are the preliminary and foundational means or preparation for the next step of a union. That's hitting that. Steve.
I have another question about, just love for you to talk about, how would you help church members like us? Because we're in a church that prizes humility, people do come and ask for advice. So now I'm thinking about it on the other side of guidance. So when somebody comes to one of us asking for guidance, there are times when you look at the decision they're making, clearly it's a gray matter, it's not sinful, they could do this, they could do A or B, either one. If they do it with faith towards God, fine. But it seems like the way they're learning, leaning, may not seem wise to me. Like, I wouldn't do that if I were you, but I could be wrong. That might work out fine, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a good idea. So any thoughts on how to counsel somebody in a way that they don't feel my disapproval? I want to make sure that they know, I love you, but this doesn't seem like a good idea, but it's not. You're not sinning if you do. You know. So how do we help somebody in a situation like that?
Well, I don't know that I'd say it a whole lot differently than you just said it. I would say those are both valid options. I personally, my preference is this. These would be the reasons I could see where that could be problematic, but that's not wrong. You may have already figured those things out. I'm not sure, and Brian, I'd want you to weigh in on this. Because people have such a trust and respect for spiritual authority, we can almost feel a sense of responsibility that isn't ours to carry. Influence, counsel, advice, yes, suggestion. But that person, I think you said it well, needs to know that doing something differently than what I offer is not displeasing me. It's not disobedience. It's not disrespectful. Now, the only other thing I'd say to that is if there are times when I've seen people make decisions for which others have to assume responsibility. They make a financial decision. I say, I don't think that's wise. It's not sin to do that. But if you do that and this goes bad, your family, this church, somebody is going to have to pick up the slack and bear the responsibility of that. So are you counting that cost? And there I could even be stronger. Still saying it's not sin. I think if I can look someone in the eye and say, you understand this is a preference issue. It's not my preference, but if it's your preference, I can support that. And that's usually a phrase that helps them. I can support your decision. It's not a sin issue. I can support it. I can stand with you. I can say it wasn't wrong to do that. Now, the outcome was not what we desired, so now we have another decision to make. But Brian, would you add to that? Good. The last page of your outline, before you make your decision, these are just, the first paragraph, these are just thoughts to consider, especially in the midst of a challenging season, a crisis. Life has just been turned upside down and you're in the midst of making a decision. These are just questions to ask. What's going on in your soul? Is do I want to make this decision just because I want to avoid that problem or because I want to solve the problem? I mean, and please know, that's all these are. They're questions. You don't go through them as a checklist that you've got to answer everyone specifically or answer to a pastor. These are just for your own benefit and your own consideration as you're making, especially what people have considered a major decision in the midst of a trial, challenge, crisis, whether it's financial, relational, professional, geographical. Questions such as these can be helpful to get at the heart and wisdom of the decision. So that's just another list for your consideration as you're making those kinds of decisions, just to review those. But again, you ask those questions in concert with the word and prayer and fellowship with other believers that you trust and are mature. Any other questions? Yes. Go ahead, tell her. I can make my way right back there. Yeah, that is a great question, because how often do we make decisions where we say, this just did not turn out the way I wanted it to. It did not go the way I hoped. I do think you have to back up and say, what was the process? We sought God, we prayed, we sought counsel. We made the financial provision. We didn't know this was going to happen. We didn't know this was going to happen in the neighborhood. We didn't know the company was going to do this. We didn't know that they were going to get deathly ill, I mean, in that situation. And I'd want to assure them that the thing that pleases God is they took a step of faith, that they were trying to be faithful. It's required of a steward, servant, that a man be found faithful. I would also say you got to dismiss thoughts like failure. You got to resist thoughts like charging God. One of the things we tell the people in the pastor's college, look, we're going to give you all the counsel, advice we can, but your coming is your decision. The finances, the housing, what we remind them, it's part of the process. This is part of God sanctifying, purifying, guiding, maturing process. Don't dismiss it as an interruption to all else that God is doing. So if they come and there's a trial and they're in an apartment that has all kinds of problems, you know, did we make a wrong decision? Probably not. You probably made the right decision, but God had other things for you that weren't a part of the equation at the time. But they're nevertheless part of God's plan for you, maturing, growing. So, Brian.
That's excellent. And I would just say, what are the scriptures maybe that God's calling us to press into in the midst of this difficulty that we didn't anticipate? But one would be that God is indeed working this difficulty for our good.
Yep.
There's things he's doing that we can't see, that maybe we'll look back on him and say, wow, God was up to a lot more than we anticipated. The presence of
exactly. Yep, very good. Yep. Yesterday I was with the pastor's college. We were talking about fellowship, and I said, when you're in the midst of crisis or conflict and you think, what in the world is going on? Well, you can always be assured, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. If that's all you know that's going on, he's refining, maturing, purifying. And that's a work of grace. Wouldn't be the way I'd want to go about it, but in his sovereignty, that's what he chose. So I help him to resist thoughts of failure or being misguided or God let them down. All that God is doing, because he's infinite in his wisdom and we're so finite, there's just a lot of other things God's doing. He's always doing something because he's a faithful God. Other questions? Any other comments, Steve?
Just to comment on what you said, Gary, in those situations, I always think of like the Genesis narrative or stories like that. Drop yourself in any moment there.
Yeah, Joseph, the story of Joseph would be the classic. So many things, so many attempts to be faithful and obedient, and not till the end did it turn out. So, thoughts, questions, comments before we wrap up? Anything else, Steve? All right, let's pray. And let's pray, but don't pray. If you need to talk to somebody about decision-making, please come and see us. The list is there, pastors, but make sure you're talking to someone. Making decisions in isolation as a believer in Jesus Christ is contrary to Scripture. Proverbs 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire and breaks out against sound wisdom. So you want to be talking to someone. Let's pray.